You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, so welcome back to another episode of the JP Show. You're here with Rabbi G and Rabbi Levy. Good morning, Rabbi Levy. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
How's your week been?
Everything is great. Not so, everything, but the most things are pretty good.
I've just been talking to someone the other day, that an older person that not so well at the moment, but he's always, every time you ask him, hey, that's wonderful. Just as wonderful.
Right.
It's good. It's good attitude.
We should dedicate a JP show to that, actually.
Okay.
Is it always good to say everything's wonderful?
Okay, we can. That's a good topic. Put it in the file.
Cool.
Now, sometimes people ask me if we prepare for the JP show. I said not always, and sometimes only very vaguely. But today, I actually have no idea what the topic is, and I'm in suspense.
All right. So.
So go for it.
So I want to bring up a few things in connection to your birthday, which is coming up. So for those who don't know, which are not many, but for those who don't know, my father is turning 60 this year, which is, I don't want to say it's old, but it's you know, it's significant.
That's a nice thing.
It's a significant milestone. Your birthday is on the 6th of Tammuz. We only celebrate Jewish / real birthdays in our family. So it's the 6th of Tammuz. I don't even know when your English birthday is, actually, to be honest.
I'll let out the secret. Actually, was already. So I'm legally, let's say only legally, I'm legally 60.
That's right. That doesn't mean anything, though.
No, my birthday is the 6th of Tammuz, which is coming up soon.
That's right. Which you will be spending in New York. At the gravesite of the Lubavitch Rebbe, blessed memory. It's also his yard site that week. His 30th yard site this year, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's a special year. So it's coming up. So first of all, I want to maybe discuss it a little bit, because since you won't be here for your birthday, you are doing a few things here. But first of all, like, what's the real difference? 60, 59, 61? Like, does that really make a difference? Is it just like a round number? Like, what does it mean to you?
So that's actually a very interesting question. I mean, it's a milestone in round numbers, but actually Kabbalistically it is significant. We are, things that happen in the number 10 are always significant, specifically, if it's that round number, because we are taught Kabbalistically that we all have 10 powers of the soul. So each cycle of 10 represents a sort of completion, not perfection, but sort of like a cycle. Interestingly enough, that six in the 10 powers of the soul itself, the number six has a significance in that it's like we have seven emotions, but in the seven emotions itself, the six are the main emotions. The seventh is called Malchut, has a different function, which of course is a subject of a different topic. So 6 times 10, therefore, is quite a significant number. And it's brought down in many sources. I've been researching this a bit, actually, just to get a bit of an idea myself. And, you know, the Talmud and in Kabbalah, they talk about the specialness of a 60th birthday. More in the context, actually, of should be taken more seriously. Not so much in the context of having a bigger bash in the party, but...
Well, yeah, we'll get to that in a moment, but...
What about taking
to mention that in Pirkei Avot, in the Ethics of Our Fathers, it goes through different milestones in a person's life. For example, it says when someone turns 40, they get a certain element of wisdom. But an interesting one... Rabboim Labina, right, which is very appropriate. But that was 20 years ago for you. In 60, it actually, maybe you can touch on this, it actually says, I believe, 60 is old age. Maybe you want to clarify what that means.
Actually, it uses the term old age for 70, more in a positive sense, but actually the word used for 60 is zikna, which can be translated as old age, because zaken is an old person. Mm. But the other translation of zaken is the acquisition of wisdom, a higher level of wisdom. As the Talmud tells us that Zaken, it's like an acronym almost for Zeshekana Chochma, someone who has acquired concept of wisdom. I cannot promise that I'm living up to what the Pirkei Avot says, but yeah, that's what it means.
Something you just said, actually, this discussion could take us a different direction, but just something came to mind now. Like, it is interesting that in today's day and age, and maybe perhaps it's changing, but there's definitely this culture of like, what do the older people know? Like, we know everything. The young people, they're more moral and more smarter and wiser and know better than everyone that's older. In Judaism, it's actually the exact opposite. Like, we have this concept of honoring an old person. And it's interesting, the idea of honoring an old person is not necessarily an old person, which is a great Torah scholar. It is an obligation to honor Torah scholars as well. But just the very fact that a person's been through life, the ups and downs of life and thing is itself wisdom. And young people need to look up to that.
Life experience, yeah.
Yeah. And I think we found, I mean, you found in your experience in Kayemet and sort of dealing with young adults. Actually, I actually think they are more ready to listen to you than someone younger, which is actually count. It's sort of, yeah, it's counter to what most people think. Most people think, and if you want to connect to young people, you got to get this, like, with the young person to talk to them. I actually don't think that's true.
Yeah, look, I mean, it depends who you're talking about, I suppose, but I think when there's mutual respect, so I think first of all, you're right. In Judaism, older age is quite respected. Life experience is very respected. That's why, parents, grandparents, all these kind of things. Hopefully, life experience for a person has brought some experience. Experience hopefully means people learn from their experiences. The famous thing that sometimes, 20 years experience could mean making the same mistake 20 times. So that's not always positive experience, but generally speaking, people do learn, hopefully, and they mature and look at things a bit differently and more seriously, perhaps. And there's certain experience. I suppose an older person dealing, I mean, I can say for myself, when you deal with young people, at least you have to acknowledge that you don't always understand their world completely. I think that's almost like a respect. You acknowledge that there are differences, but you're right. As long as you're trying to understand where they're coming from, and as long as you can discuss things that are perhaps relevant, there is a respect for that, and that we have found, and it's quite phenomenal.
Yeah. So I want to discuss two things, actually. I want to take this in two different directions, not necessarily related. I want to discuss the concept of a birthday itself and how it should be marked, but I want to get there a little later. But before that, 60, as we've mentioned, is significant. You've been through, 6 times 10 in your life, which is significant, and means you've been through things. And you've obviously made certain decisions in your life to live a certain way. Well, let's actually start with that. You live as a religious Jew. Did you choose to do that? I mean, you obviously were born to a religious family. So I started saying you chose to live a certain life. Do you consider that a decision that you made? Was it just something you just did? Why don't you just talk to that for a second?
So that's an interesting question. So I'll answer it two ways. First of all, on one level, I don't consider it a choice. I consider it a gift. I was raised in an observant family with parents who had tremendous values and great dedication to their Judaism and the Jewish principles. And that's the way I was raised. And I responded to it. I responded to that education. I lived my life that way. So that's one thing. It's in a way, on one level, it's not a choice, but I do consider it as a gift. On the other hand, what I've come to realize, and I think over the years, is I think someone was telling us this the other day, if I'm not mistaken, this idea. But I think it's important to learn to choose
Mm.
it. Meaning you can live a certain, you can be brought up a certain way, and you do it by rote, you do it because that's what you're used to. It becomes habit, it becomes robotic, it becomes just routine. And I'd like to think one of the things I've tried to do over the last couple of decades is to understand this and understand. And by the way, part of it is coming from observing people in our community and people that have made choices to become more connected to the Judaism on whatever level it might be, in whatever part of the journey they might be. But they made a choice to do it with great enthusiasm and great dedication, sometimes at a cost. Where it's difficult for them, or difficult, they have to navigate certain relationships because of that, and some people try to do it well, and so on, and it's been inspiring, and part of the inspiration for me has been to think about, well, then, what am I doing to go out of my comfort zone a little bit? Number one, so it motivates growth to a certain degree, and also, what am I doing to make sure it's not just a habit, it's not just something that was given to me, but I'm actually choosing it. Which means even though I've been doing it all my life, but is it something I'm actually constantly choosing? Because when
Right.
you choose something, you own it, it's yours, it's part of you, and anything like that. So, and then it becomes great with greater dedication, greater joy, greater enthusiasm, and so on.
Right. The person you were referencing, I can't, I'm not going to say the name, but it was on Shavuot night. We had a whole group of young adults talking. It was at 1 o'clock in the morning,
Ah,
essentially.
yes.
Who said what? But the one of them said this idea that you're saying.
Yes, thank you.
So you constantly choose to live a certain way. Do you? I mean, I guess, obviously, I don't get into deep dark secrets here, but does living a religious life, does that mean you've never doubted it? Does that mean you never have questions? Do you ever, have moments where, like, maybe could live a different type of life, I'm not sure, I'm not sure if you would have tried your hand at business, I'm not sure how that would have gone, but nevertheless,
Well,
not
you can be a
necessarily
businessman
being.
and a religious Jew too. It's not
That's right.
stuff.
That's right. Exactly. It's not necessarily being a rabbi. I'm saying it's in general. Like, do you, is it a struggle for you?
So we all have struggles, and it's part of the human design, the godly human design. We have what's called a good inclination and a bad inclination. We have temptations, we have struggles, we have rough parts of our personality. And yes, so the answer in short is yes. Of course, we always have temptations, we always have struggles, and our job is to work with them and overcome them and navigate them. Have I ever had a deep crisis in faith? The answer is no. Part of it has to do with the gift. My parents, my father in particular, was a man of tremendous faith, tremendous emunah.
Hmm.
And spoke about it a lot and instilled it, I think.
Can you just clarify for science interrupts? Can you clarify for them, what does that mean? You've never had a crisis. Does that mean you've never had any questions? Does it mean like nothing bothers you or you never had any questions? Like what is
No, question.
actually?
Well, emunah means you do have questions, you still believe. Yes, we have plenty of questions. And the questions of why are often. You see tragedy in the world, you see things don't go well for yourself. It don't go well for you or your own family, or people don't, or things don't go well for other people. Of course, you have questions, and the question is, you just wonder, like, why, right? And part of emunah is learning that you don't ask why. You ask, what am I going to do about it, and struggle through it, and become strong and resilient, and grow, and so on and so forth, right? Which isn't always easy, and it takes time sometimes. But that's, I think, what was instilled at a very young age, that emunah means you don't always understand, right?
Right.
So yeah. So has there been questions? There's plenty. But and we all have questions, and we should have questions. That's fine. Like, it doesn't matter. But it's a matter of what's the foundation, and what how do you deal with those questions, right? And then sometimes, of course, you have weaknesses. There's times of weakness, times of strength, and life is up and down, and you struggle with things, and you grow, and you fall down, and you grow again, and you grow stronger, and that's how life works, and should work for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Apart from the few very righteous people in the world that maybe don't have a struggle,
That's right.
which I
Or
don't think
at
includes
least
me
the
or
type of
you
struggle that we
honestly.
have.
Sorry?
Or at least the type of struggles that we have.
Yes, correct.
I'm going to put you on the spot. If I were to ask you, what is the, and just tell me the first thing that comes to your mind, what is, in the past 60 years, what is the most inspiring slash profound or wise thing you've ever learned or been told by someone?
Say that again, the most inspiring.
Or profound or wise thing that you've heard from someone, or impactful thing.
Well, yeah, you're operating me on the spot.
And that's a big question because
So
I
I'll
thought.
say, look, I'll say two things. I say, first of all, for myself, what's inspired me in a spiritual way, maybe even a selfish spiritual way, but I mean, in other words, that I wasn't at that point giving so much, I was more growing myself, was the years I spent learning and studying near the Lubavitcher Rebbe, where there was just moments. I mean, I would say, for me at that period, the month of Tishrei, the month of the festivals, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, Simchat Torah, was a mind-blowing experience every single time it happened. Nothing replaced it, and I live with it till today. Every time Rosh Hashanah comes, Sukkot, Simchat Torah, I'm always dancing at Simchat Torah, but I'm really dancing all those years ago, and I'm all the way back there when I do that. But I think the other part of it is more a different type of inspiration. That's when I started to deal with people, and not deal with people. I mean, start to work with others and give and teach. My most I can't pinpoint one thing right now, but I can tell you that the most inspiring thing for me is watching other people grow, watching other people actually take steps beyond what they're comfortable doing and actually put it into practice. For me, that's amazing.
Wow. Let's just spend a few moments talking about the idea of a birthday. So most people, when they think of a birthday, they think about a cake with candles, perhaps kids having a birthday party, or even adults having a birthday party, maybe a little bit more than just cake and candles if they're adults, some l'chaims as well. What comes to mind when you think about a birthday in general? How do you celebrate your birthday? What do you do? How do you spend your time?
So look, I think let's not make any mistake, because birthday is a celebration. The question is what type of celebration it is. And in fact, it's important to celebrate. And the reason why it's important to celebrate it is, and I think we're going to talk about it this Thursday morning, so I won't give too much away now. But first of all, it's spiritually a very strong day, and I'm talking about particularly Hebrew birthday. And maybe we should spill the beans to those who haven't become aware of it yet. In honor of my birthday, at Bina, we're going to actually create a much bigger awareness of Hebrew birthdays. And if you want to know when your Hebrew birthday is, let us know. We'll figure it out for you. But one amazing awareness of people actually marking the Hebrew birthday, because it's actually a very powerful day, spiritually speaking. But it's a time of a couple of things, I would say. Number one, it's a time of gratitude. We need to remember that all our gifts come from God. I've been very, very blessed to have many, many, many blessings throughout my life. Hope for many more. And I think, you know, we all have ups and downs, but I think everyone can reflect and count blessings that we have. Everyone has some level of blessing. And a birthday is a good time to acknowledge that and to show gratitude. You know how important gratitude is. It's also a time of reflection it's a time, and that's the anniversary of the time we were born, the time that our soul and body came together for a purpose, for a meaning, that we're supposed to create a meaningful existence and a purposeful existence and a godly existence. And it's a time to really reflect. It's brought down in many places that a birthday is a time for additional charity, additional prayer. And it's a time to get together with friends or family and to celebrate and to express that gratitude, but express gratitude in the context of meaning and purpose. So it's a time to, I think, take the next step, to think about the things that we could do better, things that were accomplished, but things that we can still do, things we can grow in. A birthday is very much about growth, I think. It's about, another year means we've grown another year. So how are we going to grow the next year, right?
Mm.
And if it's a milestone, maybe it's how we're going to grow the next decade, I don't know, whatever it is, right? It's definitely not even when you turn 60, it's definitely not a time to contemplate retirement. You know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was very,
very against retirement.
In fact, on his 60th birthday, and on his 70th birthday, and even on his 80th birthday, he spoke very strongly about that. He's only getting started. That's what kind of, not in those words, but that was the,
yeah.
And in fact, I remember his 80th birthday. I was there when he, and it was packed, and it was a great Fabringen, and he spoke many, many deep things. And it was very clear that things aren't slowing down. And in fact, for the next few years,
they didn't. Yeah. They exponentially increased that decade, actually.
No, it increased. Things just grew.
Yeah. Amazing.
So I think, yeah, so it's time reflection. I did this when I turned 50, and I'm doing it again when I'm turning 60. I chose actually to travel. And on my actual birthday, to be at the Rebbe's Ohel, the Rebbe's graveside, because it's a place of great holiness and just a place that I can sort of reflect and pray and learn. And I'm happy you're joining me this year. You're going to be there
I
as well.
Will be there. That's
sounds great. We're going to spend a Shabbos there together, and it's hopefully will be beautiful. A recharge.
Absolutely. All right.
So, okay, I understand why you didn't give me the topic this week. Thanks for putting
it on the spot. It just, by the way, if anyone knows their Hebrew birthday, or if you don't know your Hebrew birthday, actually, even more, reach out to us. I have a very simple way of figuring it out. Not that I'm very good at math. I just, there's a program on the computer. We can figure out when your Hebrew birthday is. So just email us your English birthday, the year you were born, preferably if you know the time of day you were born also, because that can make a difference in the Hebrew calendar. We'll figure it out for you, and we'll make sure you know when your Hebrew birthday is. Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, everyone. Have a wonderful day. See you next week.